ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय द्वैत चंद्र, जय गौर भक्तवृंद। श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत ऑफ श्रील कृष्णस कविराज गोस्वामी, Until Leela, Chapter 13, Text 112, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Ashtamasharahi Prabhu Bhote Bidai Dila. Bibaha na kariha bali nished karila. অষ্টমাশরহি প্রভু ভটে বিদায় দিলা, বিবাহ না করে হবলি নিষেধ করিলা। ট্রান্সলেশন: আফটার 8 মন্থস, ওয়েন শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু বেড ফেয়ারওয়েল টু রঘুনাথ ভট্ট, দ্য লর্ড ফ্ল্যাটলি forbade him to marry. Do not marry, the Lord said. Purport: Raghunatha Bhattacharya had become a greatly advanced devotee while still unmarried. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see this and therefore he advised him not to begin the process of material sense gratification. Marriage is a concession for people who are unable to control their senses. Raghunath, however, being an advanced devotee of Krishna, naturally had no desire for sense gratification. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him not to enter the bondage of marriage. Generally, a person cannot make much advancement in spiritual consciousness if he is married. He becomes attached to his family and is prone to sense gratification. Thus, his spiritual advancement is very slow or almost nil. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The title of this work is given by the author, Amrita, the pastimes, activities, and personality of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are all just like nectar. And when we think of Chaitanya Charitamrita, generally we think that it's very sweet, and that's certainly true. Then we may wonder why there are such harsh words here in this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is, of course, further exposition of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personification of all the principles that are taught in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, at the outset, declares its solemn purpose to distinguish reality from illusion for the benefit of all. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing the feelings of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna, and he was also Jagat Guru, the world teacher, for helping people come from the very lowest stage into Krishna consciousness and up further. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's relishing of Krishna prema is very sweet. His distribution of Krishna consciousness is very sweet, and this material world is not at all sweet. And to come up and out of that, we have to understand how this material world is binding us in a situation which is against our real self-interest. Nati vidu swartha kating hi vishnum, as Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj states, this whole material existence is in ignorance of our real purpose of life, which is to serve Vishnu. And therefore we become entangled in durasha, wrong kinds of desires, or desires that will not be fulfilled. So this, what Srila Prabhupada stated here in his writings, in his everything he spoke, Srila Prabhupada always spoke the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So that generally a person cannot make much advancement in spiritual consciousness if he is married. He becomes attached to his family and is prone to sense gratification. Thus his spiritual advancement is very slow or almost nil. And I'll read a short quote from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, from the prayers by the personified Vedas, which explains this. The perfection of human life is based on knowledge and renunciation. The perfection of human, it is not stated here, the perfection of life is based on bhakti, but it's based on knowledge and renunciation. That means to know that we are eternal servants of Krishna. Knowledge and renunciation means bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktiranyatra. As one develops feelings for Krishna, experiences Krishna in one's life, then automatically one becomes detached from everything else. So I'll go on with this. The perfection of human life is based on knowledge and renunciation, but it is very difficult to reach the stage of knowledge and renunciation while in family life. However, Srila Prabhupada goes on to state that Krishna-conscious persons therefore take shelter of the association of devotees or sanctified places of pilgrimage. In other words, it's not hopeless. Also, we may note the term that Srila Prabhupada has used here. Generally, a person cannot make much advancement in spiritual consciousness if he is married. That word generally modifies the whole statement. He doesn't say it's impossible, but generally. And of course, within Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find so many accounts of great devotees in the Grihastha ashram, and the zenith of the discussions within Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are several prolonged discussions which are recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion, these form the subject of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussions with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati, with Rupa Goswami, with Sanatan Goswami. But the one among all these discussions, the one that is considered to be the exposition of the highest level truths is that with Ramananda Rai, who was a Grihastha. And there are many Grihasthas, great devotees, described as Parama Vaishnava within Srimad, within Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we find that the one person who caused the biggest trouble to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and disturbed himself and all his devotees the most was a renunciant, Ramachandra Puri. So the word generally should be taken into account. And we also see in the more recent times, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the ideal of a Paramahamsa, topmost devotee in the Grihastha ashram, and our own Srila Prabhupada was also a Grihastha for most of his life, and many others. And Srila Prabhupada several times quoted Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapila Manu Pralada Janako Bhishmas Balia Vayasa Kir Vayam. He several times quoted this, the 12 Mahajanas, great personalities in devotional service, among them 7, I believe, are Grihasthas. So Srila Prabhupada quoted that many of them are Grihasthas and some of them were renounced. However, we still have this statement here. We can't explain it away or try to do so. Generally, a person cannot make much advancement in spiritual consciousness if he is married. He becomes attached to his family and is prone to sense gratification. Thus, his spiritual advancement is very slow or almost nil. And although it's certainly very encouraging to Grihasthas, we would hope to give the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But realistically speaking, many devotees within the Grihastha ashram, at least to external appearances, appear to be on the scale closer to the materialistic Grihasthas than to Bhaktivinoda Paramahamsa, being very attached to those very those aspects of this material world that cause illusion within this material world. Griha, kshetra, sutapta, vita, punsastriya, mituni, bhavametam, tayoraho, hridaya, grantimaho. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitarjanasya moho yamaham mameti. This materialistic consciousness is described by Rishabdev of being the consciousness thinking in terms of I, me, and mine, the basis of which is just like the perfection of human life is based on, Srila Prabhupada writes, based on knowledge and renunciation. So the basis of materialistic life is ignorance and attachment. So ignorance means ignorance of our constitutional position as eternal spiritual beings, servant of the supreme spiritual being, Krishna. And the opposite of renunciation is attachment. From knowledge comes renunciation. When one knows I have nothing to do with this material world, then he no longer desires to try to enjoy it. And from ignorance comes attachment. So that attachment that especially manifests in the attachment between male and female in this world, and then home, place of residence, country of birth, or the place, the area in which one is born, children, relatives, society, friendship and love, possessions, money. So in all these ways, people become attached to the material world. And we see that is prominent in many Grihastha devotees. And they have to be, because that's what it means to be a householder. One has to have griha, kshetra, sutta, apta, vitta. One has to have a place to live. There's no grihastha, the very word means griha, living in a griha. Lord Shiva is also a grihastha technically, but his griha is the whole universe. So he doesn't have a home. Well, he has a place of residence, but he doesn't have a house per se. So one has to have a house and one has to have children. That's the, as Srila Prabhupada himself several times quoted, that putrarte kriyate bharya, one accepts a wife for the purpose of having sons. So one has a house, it's situated in a place, which means that one has to stay in one place, and one has to be cognizant of the other people around him, and has to have relationships with them, and has to have some possessions and some wealth. All these things are required in family life. But although a devotee is supposed to be detached from this world, in family life he has to be attached to these things. And we'll also, as we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the example of Vasudev Datta, a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is married, and he was so inattentive in his family life to taking responsibility for all these matters, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for this, himself a renunciant at that time, he put him under the charge, not only spiritually, but especially materially, under Shivananda Sen, because Shivananda Sen was a responsible manager. He used to manage every year all the devotees from Bengal. They all had to come. It's quite an operation if you consider it, considering in those days the completely different situation from the world. If you want to send a message to someone who's in another part of Bengal, you have to send someone. So they all had to congregate more or less the same time. If you had half the people there 10 days before, then how do you feed them all in one place? They all have to come together. They all have to come together more or less at the same time, and then walk together, and then you have to arrange for a big party to be fed as they're on the way, and there are no Punjabi dhabas on the roadside at the time. But there may be chatras or places where for pilgrims to come, but you have to know where they are, and you have to calculate, we're going to walk so far in the big logistical operations. So Shivananda Sen was very expert in management, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put Vasudev Datta particularly under his care. You're not looking after your family properly. You just, whatever money he gets, he gives it away in charity. You have to keep some also. Usually we say round the other way, because it's usually round the other way that all is kept and none is given in charity, or just very little. But with Vasudev Datta, it's round the other way. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you're being too liberal in this regard. You have to look after your family properly. So a family man has to be responsible for his family. But it, by the very nature of family life, it tends to toward that kind of consciousness which is antithetical to Krishna consciousness, to Dehatma Buddhi. that I am this body. This, I have to look after these people because they are related to my body. Deha Paktya Kalatra Deshu. They're my children, my wife, it's responsible. But what is the connection? It's a bodily connection. Of course, that can be spiritualized in Krishna consciousness. But the basic connection on the social platform is that I have to take care of this woman, or this woman has to serve this man. It's a social arrangement. It's not as there's no intrinsic spiritual relationship any more than there is with any other person. Of course, that will be different for those who are family, husband and wife on the completely spiritual platform, but that's not what we're talking about here. Srila Prabhupada himself, although he was in family life, as I say, for most of his life, he was quite strong quite often on this situation in family life, as in this purport here. I'll read one quote. It's maybe one of the most shocking. Srila Prabhupada is talking about Tulsidas. Srila Prabhupada said, Tulsidas is a big poet in the Hindi language. He must be the biggest. There's no one even near him, is there? In terms of popularity. Suradas, whatever we call Hindi, it's Suradas is maybe number two, but he's not anywhere near the level of popularity or influence. Kabir, anyway, Tulsidas is a big poet in Hindi language. He has written the Ramacharitmanasa. His opinion, not only his opinion, that is the Vedic opinion. He says, Dhol, Goba, Shudra, Pashu, Nari, Eshab, Shashan, Ke Adhikari. So this statement will not be very palatable to the Western girls. I won't translate it. Those of you who understand can understand. He says Shashan, but Srila Prabhupada used to translate it in a graphic way. They want independence. Now, this statement will not be very palatable to the Western girls. I've seen that with my book, this Mothers and Masters book. They don't like it. They don't like it at all, most of them. Even those who are Prabhupada's disciples and sub-disciples. They want independence. In Chicago, when I was there, Srila Prabhupada said, they talked about independence of the woman. They asked me a question. So I replied, no, women cannot be given independence. So there was great agitation against me. In many papers, I was very much criticized, but actually, it is a fact. It is the fact, because they're innocent, not so intelligent. These are all practical. We may avoid discussing, but Bhagavad is very open for discussing all subject matters. So when I get criticized for discussing such things, I may quote this from Srila Prabhupada for those who give importance to Srila Prabhupada, which we're supposed to within Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. We may avoid discussing, but Bhagavad is very open for discussing all subject matters. That is a fact. We should not hide anything artificially. We must discuss the fact. Not only here, the mention is in the Manu Sanghita. Manu Sanghita recommends a woman should not be given independence. For their interest, they must be protected by the father, husbands, and sons, because if they are polluted, they become very dangerous. Many years ago, what I believe was the first shloka book published in ISKCON came out, compiled by a godbrother of mine who is a Grihastha, and he quoted shlokas and sayings that Srila Prabhupada often said. Just the verse and the translation. He quoted this one also. Dol gobar shudra pashunari eshab shashankaya adhikari. And he gave the translation, and I believe it was only on this one verse in the whole book that he gave a little comment also. His comment was that Tulsi Das had a bad experience in marriage. In other words, he wanted to explain it away. Okay, I'll tell a little joke. You may know, you probably don't, that in Christian culture, especially I believe Roman Catholic culture, Friday is considered an unlucky day, because that was the day on which Jesus was crucified. So George Bernard Shaw, who was a literary figure in Britain, he was Irish, in late 19th and early 20th century, he was once asked, "Do you think that people who marry on Fridays will have a bad marriage?" Because, you see, he's a very learned man. He's not supposed to be superstitious. So he said, yes. And then he was asked, why? And he said, why should Friday be different to any other day? So, there are many such jokes, but one's enough. We shouldn't tell too many jokes. So Tulsi Das had a bad experience in marriage, so it is said. So he may be forgiven for making such statements, if we're going to mollify the situation. Let's not be too harsh here. And sometimes, he said, you see, well, these sannyasis, they talk all these things. They don't understand all the things. What's the actual situation? But actually, sannyasis and everyone is supposed to understand reality, not exactly or directly through our personal experiences, but through Shastra. We're supposed to understand through Shastra. So Shastra states, Pungsa, I already quoted it. There are several such quotes in Srimad Bhagavatam. Pungsa striya mituni bhavametam tayor mito hridya grantim ahu ato griha kshetra sutabdya vitayar janasya moho yam aham mameti. It's a very heavy statement, in as much as it states indirectly that everyone in this world is in a great illusion. And what everyone thinks is desirable is actually the cause of our incarceration in this material world. In other words, everyone is a great fool in this material world, because apaswartha parayana, they are attached to that which is against their own self-interest. What could be more foolish than that? The attraction, this verse translation, the attraction between male and female, the sexual, it's specifically said here, sexual attraction, sexual feelings, that forms a knot of attachment between them. They give their hearts to each other. They become bound. Their hearts become bound. But that's not the real heart of hearts, which in our heart of hearts we all desire to love Krishna. But instead, give our love to a member of the other gender. And thereafter, therefore, one thinks in terms of my home, my area, where I live, ato grihakshet, children, relatives, friends, possessions, wealth, and in this way, one is illusioned, thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. Shukdev Goswami, renunciant, from before birth, before he was born, he decided, I don't want to get born. It's better inside this womb filled with worms and horrible situation, which he later described himself in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's better to be in here than to be out there, because at least if I'm in here, they won't try to get me married. Sometimes they do also, even before the child is born. But he thought, better I'll stay here. It's too much Maya out there. So when he got born, ultimately, Krishna had to come and tell him, just come out. Then he came out, he looked at his father and mother, turned around and walked out. He didn't stay at all. So he met Parikshit Maharaj, who was a great devotee from his very birth. It's specifically described in Srimad Bhagavatam that even in his childhood, he would be absorbed in games. Children like to play games. He'd be games remembering Krishna. And he was in a great family of devotees. his father was the brother-in-law of Krishna. And his grandfather was the greatest friend of Krishna. So he was a great devotee, no doubt. But Shukdev to reaffirm, to firm up his renunciation. Now he got news, I have to die in 7 days. So he could have tried to avoid that. But instead he came to the bank of the Ganga and sat down. He was to hear Shukdev. But Shukdev, first of all, congratulated him. Variyane Ishate Prashna. These are very good questions you're asking. Then Shukdev described the position of materialistic people. In other words, to congratulate Parikshit and solidify his resolve. And you just have to stay here and listen. He's going to say many sweet things. He's going to say many bitter things also. So you have to sit here and hear. Shodha, his first words, after congratulating, you've asked a very good question. It's in relation to Krishna. Then he told, Shukdev told, Rajendra, oh, great king, king of Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nrinang Santi Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedhinam. First words of Shukadev, after just congratulating, that people in human society have many, many, many topics which they like to hear about and discuss. Not this, not Atma Tattva, not the subject matter of reality, of who we are, and we are actually spiritual beings. They don't see the, they don't see it, they don't want to hear about it, because they are tied up in their family life. They like to remain tied up in their family life. And practically we can see this. How many books are produced in the world? How many newspapers and how many people are discussing, so many people writing books. It's not an easy thing unless you write some kind of, what is it, stream of consciousness nonsense. But it's hard work to write a book. It's mentally, it's hard. But they write so many books about so much nonsense. All nonsense. Thousands and thousands of books every year. But apashyatam atma tattvam, they don't see what they should really be discussing. They waste their life and the lives of others in discussing so many different things. On the basis of what? On the basis of this ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya, in terms of thinking, in terms of I, me and mine. I'll read another quote from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. He writes, Sarva Padivinir Muktam, he's quoting this, to be free of mundane designations. But again, family life puts one in mundane designations. This is my wife. These are my relatives. These are my neighbors. These are my enemies. These are my animals. In traditional life, people live with animals in a home. There'll be cows and there'll be some dog and cat and so many things. Maybe parrot also. Different. So these are all mine, all these designations. And people put, in human society, we require to put everyone just so we can relate with others. This one is Tamil, Brahmin, elderly, male, atheist, or different categories we put people in. So sarva, I'm reading from Krishna book, sarva padivinir muktam means being freed from all designations. Works performed for family, society, community, nation, or humanity are all designated. I belong to this society. I belong to this community. I belong to this nation. I belong to this species of life. Such identities are all merely designations. So we don't want to discourage grihasthas, but the fact should be stated, because if we are in the situation where we cannot, where we become attached to family and prone to sense gratification, and then our spiritual advancement becomes very slow or almost nil. And nowadays in ISKCON, when family life is discussed, it's usually discussed in a very positive or rosy kind of way. It used to be around the other way in our ISKCON. Things have changed. We used to hear a lot about the deep, dark well, Grihamanda Kupam. But whatever, to see it as intrinsically good or intrinsically bad, a bhalo, a manda, shabmano dharma. It's like anything in this world, it's neither intrinsically good or intrinsically bad, family life. However, we should know that the situation tends to increase material attachment. So everyone who's taken to Krishna consciousness should know that the goal of life is to develop pure love of Krishna, go back home, back to Godhead. We should know that. We should know where we are now, what is our actual situation now, and how to go from where we are now to where we want to go, which is back to home, back to the lotus feet of Krishna. So if we don't know where we are, then how are we going to go? We know where we want to go. We know how to go, but we don't know where we are now. So you may have a good car and you may want to go to Delhi. But if... Hare Krishna. We lost the sound there? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. What's going on? I'll just wait for the sound to come because others won't hear otherwise. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, we may have a good car, we may know where we want to go, but if we don't know where we are now, then there's very little chance of going in the right direction. Maybe we want to go to Delhi, but which direction do we drive in? If we're here in South India, we have to go north. If we're in Himachal Pradesh, then we have to go south. So we have to know where we are also. Understand. Otherwise, we may, even though we have the process of Krishna consciousness, we may not know how to apply it to our situation as we are now. We don't want to make a divide between brahmacharis and sannyasis, vanaprastas on one, renunciants on one side and grihasthas on the other. There is some social divide. There is difference. It's not all one and the same. As devotees, all one, but socially there's a difference. Sahajya kam mayavad idea to think that, well, everyone's a devotee, so men and women, they can all mix up all together. We don't find that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Rather the opposite. They followed the social norms which are necessary for what to speak of spiritual advancement for maintaining human civilization. They observed that very strictly. So we don't. It's not automatic that a renunciant is more advanced, because it may be, I spoke about this just last time, that a brahmachari may be more in the consciousness of a grihastha, and vice versa, it may be. So to overemphasize this means to bring in one kind of jata buddhi, something like that, that we differentiate between devotees, that in terms of their social position. So all devotees are primarily devotees. To see someone primarily by their present external designations, that's an offense. If we say, oh, this is a Brahmin Vaishnava, this is a Shudra Vaishnava, it's an offense to think like that. Naraki, it's the hellish kind of thinking. So we don't want puffed up renunciants looking down at the grihasthas and thinking themselves better. Anyone who thinks like that hasn't understood anything about Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we should understand that intrinsically the grihastha situation, it's paradoxical. Because on the one hand, we're supposed to be cultivating sarvopadivinirmuktam, a consciousness of not having anything to do with this world, of not being related to it in any way. And on the other hand, we are required to have so many designations as a grihastha. As renunciant also has a designation. Sannyasi is also a designation, social designation. But it is one in which it doesn't lend itself to having a multiplicity of other designations. So the Paramahamsa position is supposed to be is above that of the sannyasi, where he has nothing to do with this world whatsoever. But the sannyasi has something to do with this world. He has to preach within this world. Otherwise, Paramahamsa avadhut, he has no rules to follow. He can go naked one day and dress in finery the another day, as Gorky Shaw Das Babaji once did. Sometimes Gorky Shaw Das Babaji would go naked, usually dressed with some rags, as a copian, loincloth, which that also from taken from the crematorium. And one day he was seen dressed in very fine clothes, the topmost dandy gentleman, Babu clothes, which everyone was shocked to say, what happened to him? And he said, it's better to be like this than to wear a copian and falsely have sex. He was making a point to criticize those so-called Babajis, Vaishnav Babajis, who are very interested in the widows, in having relationships with illicit relationships with widows in the name of being devotees. So this kind of discussion we also require. We don't want to overemphasize one's material situation, but at the same time we have to take stock of it so that we can come up. If we accept, generally a person cannot make much advancement in spiritual consciousness if he is married. Well, those who are married and in Krishna consciousness, they want to make advancement in spiritual consciousness. So then the question comes, well, how do we do that? If we're generally, it's very slow. So these things should be discussed. We don't want anyone to go very slow. We want everyone to go quickly back to Godhead. Not that it has to be very slow. It doesn't have to be very slow. So it's not that grihasthas are condemned or the renunciants are necessarily better than grihasthas, but as Srila Prabhupada states here, the situation itself is not so favorable. Again, reading from Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada writes, renunciation is not as important as enhancing one's attachment to Krishna. I'll read that again. Renunciation is not as important as enhancing one's attachment to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada continues, this is also from the Krishna book, I said that. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for this purpose. We are preaching the principle that it does not matter whether a man is a sannyasi or a grihastha householder. One simply has to increase his attachment for Krishna and then his life is successful. Following in the footsteps of Lord Sri Krishna, one can live with his family members or within the society or nation, not for the purpose of indulging in sense gratification, but to realize Krishna by advancing in attachment for him. So there's the important point, the differentiation between a mundane, materialistic, married person and a devotee who is advancing in attachment for him. One lives in with his family members or within society or nation, not for the purpose of indulging in sense gratification, but to realize Krishna by advancing in attachment for him. So that should be very clearly in the minds of everyone who is trying to practice Krishna consciousness, especially grihasthas, as they have a license. Srila Prabhupada described that grihasthas have a license for sense gratification, but they should live within the family not for the purpose of indulging in sense gratification, but to realize Krishna by advancing in attachment for him. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we want to raise up a class of saintly people, sadhus. Sadhu, generally that word is understood to mean those who have renounced this world for the sake of spiritual advancement. But intrinsically, the word doesn't mean that. It could be interpreted in various ways. Basically it means a saintly person. The whole world today is awash, gone into the idea that human life is meant for sense gratification. It's not even, people don't even think. They go through their whole life just presuming that life is meant for sense enjoyment. And for that reason, we're talking about family life, but many, they don't think family life is very important, because if you can get sense gratification without the responsibility of family life, then why bother? If the goal of life is sense gratification, they don't even reason like that. Just like animals, they live just going from one sexual partner to another, very, very low class, and degrading. So if even one can stay in family life as a respectable gentleman, as Srila Prabhupada would say, that if you want sex, then get married and live as a respectable gentleman. So even that is quite an achievement in comparison to what we see is increasingly the mode of life all over the world. Or even they get married, but it's just some arrangement for sense gratification. And then when the husband and wife don't like each other, then they split. They just, on the basis of sensual attraction, they get married. It's just an imitation of the marriage, which was all over the world a religious sacrament. All over the world, in every culture, men and women got married, not men and men or women and women, but men, man and woman were married in a religious ceremony. Understanding that inherent in that is the understanding that it's meant not, otherwise cats and dogs, they don't have marriages unless sometimes people arrange such a thing. But generally, it's understood to be it's sacred in as much as it's man and woman joining together for the sake of dharma, although that word isn't there in every language. So even if one is on that level, that's a lot better than being just on the level of the cats and dogs. But just for the sake of dharma, without Krishna consciousness, one is not degraded, but by that arrangement, one is not elevated either. One has to come to the platform of dharma to at least become steady and in human life and not become degraded, but one has to consciously strive for advancement also, if one is to be spiritually advanced. But generally it's thought that that's another aspect of Hindu life, we can say, which is modern Hinduism is largely a gift of Sripad Shankaracharya. So the idea that, well, in family life you enjoy and then later you have dharma, artha, kama, and then later you can take sannyas. Then you go for moksha. So under this definition or this misunderstanding, family life is meant for living religiously but not for spiritual advancement. And then later you can do spiritual advancement as a sannyasi. But that's not the teaching of the Vaishnavas, because spiritual advancement is on the platform of the Atma of this, and the Atma is there. It's not that one suddenly gets an Atma when one takes sannyas. So the whole of human life is meant for spiritual advancement in grihastha life also. So this whole materialistic civilization is highly degrading, and we're looking for the grihasthas, especially a majority of population will be grihasthas, to set an example of saintly life, living in this world not for the sake of sense gratification, but for the sake of serving Krishna. Another important point in this regard is that parents should not be eager for material so-called success for their children. Naturally, parents are interested in the future of their children. But to think that they should be materially successful in terms of earning, in terms of how the demons define it, having lots of money, which means more facility for sense gratification. No, they should know, as Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Guru nasasyat, Swajano nasasyat, Pita nasasyat, Janani nasasyat, Daivang natatsyan napatish, Chasasyan namoche adhyat samupeita mrityum. One should not accept the role of a guru, a relative, a father, mother, or in any take any position of honor or guide anyone unless one can deliver them from birth and death. I'll stop speaking here now unless there are any questions. I have more to say about this. I plan to continue speaking on this important topic in Sri Rangam in starting later this week, and I hope to see most of you there. I know some can't go. Any question now about this? Anyone? No? Comment? You'd like to say something? Give a mic.
We find statements by our acharyas in various places that if one follows any kind of dharma, but especially varnashram dharma very strictly, then he will not be degraded.
Yeah, elevation. But it's not really elevation, is it? Yeah. You can imagine there's a elevation to Swarga. It's like being in a multi-storied prison. You get moved up to the top floor. On the top floor, there's more facility. You get beaten with golden rods. In the middle floors, you get beaten with copper rods, and on the bottom floor you get beaten with iron rods. I just heard, actually, there was conversation. No, it was questions and answers, Srila Prabhupada. And one of the disciples said that Srila Prabhupada was talking about how India is suitable for spiritual advancement. And because the Vedic culture is there. And then the question came, well, the Vedic culture is also in the heavenly planets. So how is India more suitable than the heavenly planets? And Prabhupada had also said before that those who are in the heavenly planets, they want to take birth in India. So even though the Vedic culture is there, but the feeling of illusion is there also more, because there's such a feeling of happiness. It's sensual happiness. It's bewildering. Even though the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, they know they're not going to stay there forever. They, particularly Indra, is in anxiety. And definitely anxiety and tension is going to be there. Who will enjoy the... Just like in this world, if there's a beautiful girl and different men are vying for her. So the same thing goes on there. And one who gets the girl, he's afraid that she'll run off with someone else. And who doesn't have, he's envious of the one who has. This same thing is going on. But still, the sense gratification is so intense that it's not very suitable for spiritual advancement. As I mentioned last week, that or last Sunday, that sometimes devotees are thrown into great difficulties and they forget Krishna. They think, oh, they become so overwhelmed. Or they think, how could Krishna put me in such a situation? It may work the other way also. They may get so much, all of a sudden they get a lot of money, which they weren't expecting. And they think, well, great. And they forget Krishna. Can happen either way. So elevation to the heavenly planets, that means physical elevation. It doesn't mean spiritual elevation. It doesn't mean elevation of consciousness. In some respect, elevation of consciousness, because to go there one has to be pious. But it's not real piety, because it's all in the back of one's mind when one is performing pious activities with the aim of going to Swargaloka, in the back of one's mind is, what am I getting for this? What's the benefit I'm going to get from this? It's all selfish. So that's mentioned, isn't it, in Bhagavad Gita, that if one gives charity, or charity given without the expectation of any return, that is sattvic. But if one is calculating, when one gives charity, what benefit I'm going to get, which almost everyone does, then that is, at least within Hindu culture, Vedic culture, because it's you give this, you get that. Give and you get back later. So it's Balaji, Tirupati, so much money is given there. People have faith. And give, you get back more. It's not pure devotion. So yeah, we see terms, elevation to the heavenly planet. We should understand it's not the same as elevation to Krishna consciousness. It's not the same thing. It's mundane. And practically in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, He severely criticizes people who are interested in going to the heavenly planets. He just said to Arjuna that, what is that? Naswargam, klaibhyam maswargam aparta, naitatvayu pajati. What's the next line? Kshudram hridya darbalyam takvo tishtha parantava. What's the next line? Next verse. Klaibhyam maswargam. It doesn't lead to the heavenly planets, but to infamy. So then after that, he says that even if you're thinking of going to the heavenly planets, it's all nonsense anyway. Yeah. No, that's much later. Taitam, all that. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shri Gaur Nityai Ki Jai.